大家晚上好，今天呢是2020年10月16日星期五，我们又迎来了这个非常的特别的周五的晚上，就是我们有非常深爱着我们以及我们深爱着的阿叔 Krishna Baladeva 布为我们继续讲述伟大的巴拉达 Mahabharata，所以敬请聆听 Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavadi Pasata Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakaupataru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So you continue with our narration of Mahabharata.
我们继续我们对于 Mahabharata 的讲述。
Presented, written by Srila Vyasadeva.
这部著作呢是由 Srila Vyasadeva 所著的。
So we are still reading from the first canto, first book, Adiparva.
那我们现在依然还是在读第一卷 Adiparva, Adiparva.
Adi Parva, Parva.
Adi Parva, Parva, Adi Parva.
Yes, yes, yes. So last time was the chapter 4. We saw how Bhishma and Parashurama had a great battle together in Kurukshetra.
那上一次呢，我们读到的是第四章，我们就看到了 Bhishma 与 Parashurama 他们如何在 Kurukshetra 上有一场大战，激烈的大战。
Parashurama, he was the martial teacher of Bhishma.
Parashurama, 他是 Bhishma 的武术老师。
And he wanted to, you know, he wanted Bhishma to marry Amba, because she had been taken away by him.
因为 Bhishma 呢，他带走了 Amba, 所以呢 ，Parashurama 他就希望 Bhishma 能够娶 Amba 为妻。
But Bhishma didn't want to break his vow.
但是 Bhishma 他不想打破他的誓言。
So he didn't accept the order of his teacher.
所以呢，他没有接受他的老师所给他的训练。
So both Bhishma and Parashurama, they are all liberated associates of the Lord.
但是呢 ，Bhishma 和 Parashurama 他们两人都是主的永恒的解脱了的同游。
Parashurama is a Shaktyavesha avatar, an empowered living entity.
Then Parashurama 呢，他是一位 Shaktyavesha avatar， 也就是说，他是一位被主赋予了力量的生物体。
And Bhishma was a pure devotee, one of the 12 Mahajanas.
而 Bhishma 呢，他是一位纯粹的奉献者，他是十二位 Mahajan 之一。
So these pastimes, as we already mentioned last time, these are arranged by the Lord, by the internal potency of the Lord.
而我们上次已经探讨过了，这样的逍遥时光呢，是由主来安排的，是由他的内在的能量所安排出来的逍遥时光。
That's why we are hearing these stories. Otherwise, why we hear stories of wars and diplomacy and marriage? Why we hear these stories? We are hearing stories because this is all Krishna's arrangements.
这也就是为什么我们要聆听这些故事的原因，否则的话，我们对于一场战争、一些外交的手段或者一个婚礼 有什么兴趣呢？我们不会去听这些故事的。但就是由于是主安排，所以呢，我们才会来聆听这些故事的讲述。
So Bhishma disobeyed his teacher.
所以呢，Bhishma 他就违反了他的老师所给他的命令。
And this in Vedic culture, it was a great offense.
那么在韦达文化中来说呢，这是一个很大的冒犯。
So we cannot imitate the pastimes of these great personalities.
所以呢，我们不可能去效仿这些伟大人物在这个消时光中的展示。
In our Vaishnava culture, we know that we should always act to please our spiritual masters. When you don't want to displease them, you don't want to disobey them.
那所以呢，在我们的 Vaishnava 的这个礼仪中，在我们 Vaishnava 的文化中呢，我们都知道我们是要很好的去遵守我们的灵性导师所给我们的训令的。我们可不想让他不开心，或者是不遵守他给我们的训谕。
And we see in our disciple succession, all the acharyas, all the great spiritual masters, they always follow strictly the order of their own spiritual masters.
而且在我们的使徒传系中呢，我们也可以看到所有的这些 acharya 们，他们都是要去遵循他们的灵性导师所给予他们的训谕的。
Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the spiritual master Ishvara Puri and strictly followed his instructions.
而且呢，就连 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他也是很严格的追随他的灵性导师 Ishvara Puri， 而且呢也是非常的严格的遵循他灵性导师所给予他的训谕的。
Yeah, Ishvara Puri instructed Lord Chaitanya to only chant the mantra of Krishna and to not read Vedanta Sutra, to not discuss, read and discuss Vedanta Sutra.
Ishvara Puri 他训令 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 只要去念诵 Hare Krishna 的圣名，而不要去阅读以及探讨 Vedanta Sutra 终极伟大经。
But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, is the origin of Vedanta Sutra.
而 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他是 Krishna 本人，他就是最原初的 Vedanta Sutra.
But in order to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, he never studied Vedanta Sutra.
但是呢，为了要遵守他的灵性导师所给他的训谕，他从来就不会去研习 Vedanta Sutra.
We hear in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya.How he defeated the Mayavadis in Benares, led by Prakashananda Saraswati.
但是呢，我们也听到了 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在Benares 如何击败了由 Prakashananda Saraswati 所领导的这些 Mayavadi.
But he defeated them. He had a debate, but not on Vedanta Sutra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he discussed Srimad Bhagavatam.
但是呢，他并不是通过和他们来辩论终极伟大经伟丹特苏舍来击败他们的，而是通过讲述国家瓦坛击败他们的。
So it's a principle. We have to follow our spiritual authorities if you want to achieve any success in life.
所以说呢，这是一个原则，就如果我们要是想在生活中获得任何的成就或者成功的话呢，我们就必须要遵循我们的灵性的权威所给我们的训谕。
And we also heard about the revengeful attitude of Amba that wanted Bhishma to be killed.
而且呢，我们也听在上一讲里我们也听到了 Amba 他如何怀着这种复仇的心态，他想要 Bhishma。他想要这个 Bhishma 被杀死。
That was not proper.
对，他这种心态并不是恰当的心态。
Because whatever she was experiencing was due to her previous activities in maybe in previous life, so she had to accept and should not blame anybody, particularly Bhishma, a great personality. She should blame herself.
因为他所经历的这一切呢，其实全部都是由于他之前的生事或者他之前的一些行为所导致的现在的结果， 所以呢，他不应该由于他所受的苦而去指责任何一个人，更加不应该去指责 Bhishma， 他本来就是应该是自责的。
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity himself is the cause of his sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
所以 Krishna 在博迦梵歌里面讲到了一个生物体，他在这个世界所受的苦以及享受的快乐，都是由于他自己的行为所导致的。
So certainly Amba was not a devotee, at least at that time.
所以毫无疑问，Amba至少在那个时刻还不是一位奉献者。
So she had performed some sinful activities in previous life, and now she was suffering because she did not have a husband.
那他就因为在之前的生世呢，从事了一些罪恶的活动，使得他在这一世呢就要受苦。那他受苦的形式呢，就是他没有丈夫。
So when we come to Krishna consciousness and a surrender to a spiritual master, then Krishna takes most of our karmic reactions.
但是当你进入到 Krishna 知觉。并且呢，像一位灵性导师皈依之后呢 ，Krishna 其实把我们大部分的这些业报的反应都给拿走了。
So whatever karmic reactions we may experience is very much minimized because of the mercy of the Lord.
所以呢，就藉着主的仁慈呢，使我们现在所经历的任何的业报的反应，已经是被降到了最低的反应了。
So the devotee should always see everything as the hand of God in everything.
对呢，一位奉献者他总是要看清楚，所有的一切都是掌握在主的手里的。
But Amba, unfortunately, she had not conquered a real enemy, hatred that she had within herself.
但是很遗憾的是呢 ，Amba 她并没有征服。真正的敌人，也就是在他内心中的仇恨。
Otherwise, she would not be so revengeful to the point that she wanted she convinced Parashuram to kill Bhishma.
否则的话呢，他就不会有这样的复仇的心态，甚至于会安排由 Parashurama 要杀死 Bhishma 这一幕了。
So let's go back to Hastinapura.
所以我们现在呢，回到哈斯提纳普尔。
As we heard previously, Vichitravirya, the son of Satyavati, was the king, the monarch, the emperor, had passed away with tuberculosis.
那我们之前就听到了这个 Satyavati 的儿子 what is his name?
Vichitravirya.
Vichitravirya.因为呢，他这个，对呀，因为他得，因为他这个早逝了，所以说呢，他就不能够成为国王。
So Vichitravirya passed away.
Vichitravirya 去世了。
In young age, and he did not left any progeny.
因为他是很就是英年早逝，所以呢，他没有留下任何的后代。
So everybody was lamenting for the loss of Vichitravirya.
所有的人呢，都因为 Vichitravirya 的早逝而悲伤着。
Particularly Satyavati, a mother, was devastated.
特别是 Satyavati, 他的母亲基本上处于绝望的状态。
She was very concerned about who would rule the kingdom because there was no king now.
因为呢，他现在就非常的担忧着，到底谁能够继承王位，成为国王呢？因为现在这个国家变成了一个没有国王的状态。
Means the dynasty was going to be extinguished.
那也就意味着这个王朝就会被灭绝。
So she very humbly she approached Bhishma to request him.
所以呢，他就很谦卑的来找 Bhishma， 来向 Bhishma 询问。
Said the only way our Kuru dynasty can continue depends on you.
他说呢，我们这个骷髅王朝能够继续持下去的唯一的希望就在您的身上了。
You should procreate children in the womb of the wives of your brother.
那你呢，应该在你弟弟的妻子的子宫里留下后人。
There is Ambika and Ambalika. They wanted to have progeny. They desire to have progeny, so you should procreate them.
所以呢 ，Ambika 和 Ambalika 他们呢都非常的渴望着能够有后代，所以呢，你应该协助他们，养以生
You
养
are the
后代。
one.
阿叔，
You there?
阿叔 ，Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
Yes.
You are the only male existing now in society,
那你
in
是
our
我
dynasty.
你现在是我们王朝唯一留下的一位男士了。
So you have to do this.
所以呢，这是您必须要做到的。请大家稍微等一下。
Sorry, somebody was calling me. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So, you at those in those days, in those days, it was accepted that if the husband passed away, then the brother could create progeny in the womb of the widows, if necessary.
那因为在伟达文化里面有这样一种规定，就是当这家里的兄弟如果要是去世了的话，如果要是有必要的话呢，那么他这兄弟的兄弟就可以在他留下的这个遗孀的子宫里面留下后人。
This was amongst the kings, the Kshatriyas.
当然，这个是在沙地利的这个在沙地利中间所奉行的这样一种习俗，在国王之间。
It was in previous ages.
而且呢，是在之前的年代是这样的。
And Satyavati continues, and you should also told Bhishma, you should be married, you know, with a good wife, and you should become the king until your children are capable of ruling the kingdom.
You mean Satyavati suggests Bhishma.To have his own family,
marry
right?
also to get a wife, to get a good
yes.
wife, and,
yeah.
and become the king until they have progeny.
Yeah, yeah. 那么这个 Satyavati 他也建议 Bhishma 说呢，你也应该就是找一个好姑娘，然后娶这位好姑娘，然后呢，你成为这个国家的国王之后，等你们有了后代之后呢，然后呢，再辅佐这个孩子成王。
So everybody in the kingdom, everybody in the court, they were in agreement with Satyavati's suggestion, request.
所以当时呢，皇宫上下的所有的这些大臣，所有的人们都非常的赞同 Satyavati 所提出的这个建议，所提出的这个请求。
But Bhishma replied to her, "No, sorry, my dear mother, but what you have said is certainly proper." But you have forgotten my vow regarding marriage and children. I have taken a vow of lifelong celibacy.
但是 Bhishma Dev 对 Satyavati 的回答就是：我亲爱的母亲，您所提出的要求毫无疑问是恰当的。但是呢，您忘记了在您结婚的时候，我曾经发下了要终身遵守的誓言。
I cannot. I cannot accept your decision. Your request.
所以呢，我没有办法接受您的这个决定。我没有办法接受您的请求。
This earth may lose its scent. The water may lose its liquidity.
他说呢，这个地球也许会 ，the earth may lose its scent，
its fragrance，
yeah
the
yeah
fragrance comes from the earth， the water may lose its moisture。
OK OK OK， 那么就是这个土呢，也许可能会丧失它的芬芳。
OK， let me say the whole sentence。
这水
let me say the whole sentence。
OK，
let me say the whole sentence is easier for
okay,
you。
OK OK，
the earth may lose its fragrance， the water may lose its moisture, its liquidity, the sun may lose its warmness, the fire may lose the heat, the moon may lose its cooling rays, but I will not renounce my vow。
这 土也许会失去它的芬芳，水会失去它的液体的水性，那么太阳也许会失去它的热度，火呢也许会失去它的这个太阳也许会失去它的光亮，火也许会失去它的热度。那么月亮呢也许会失去月亮也许会失去它清凉的光芒， Indra 会失去它的能力，但是我不会放弃我的誓言。
So Satyavati was very touched by Bhishma's determination。
所以 Satyavati 呢就非常的被 Bhishma 的决心所打动。
I know that you have taken this vow to allow me to be married with your father。
那我知道你当时发下这个誓言呢是为了要恩准我能够和你的父亲成婚。
But now we are, I understand your vow is a great vow, but now we have to understand the present situation is an emergency。
那我能够理解你的这个誓言是多么的伟大，可是现在呢我们是处在千钧一发的这种境地，我们的情况非常的紧急。
But Bhishma said, "Sorry, my dear mother, but I cannot break my vow."
但是 Bhishma 说，我亲爱的母亲，实在抱歉，但是我不能打破我的誓言。
So I can maybe remind you of something that happened in the past.
但是我可以提醒您在之前发生的一些事情。
In the previous yuga, Parashurama, he killed Kartavirya Arjuna in a battle。
在之前的年代呢，Parashurama 他杀死了 Kartavirya Arjuna。 Parashurama, yes。
Kartavirya Arjuna was Kartavirya Arjuna, not Arjuna we know。
就是在之前的这个年代呢，Parashurama 他杀死了 Kartavirya Arjuna。 那么这个 Kartavirya Arjuna， Kartavirya Arjuna 他并不是我们所认识的这位 Arjuna。
Because Parashurama was a Brahmana and this Kartavirya Arjuna he killed his father。
那 Parashurama 他是一位婆罗门，那么这位 Kartavirya Arjuna 他杀死了他的父亲。
So he killed Kartavirya Arjuna in battle and then he started killing all the followers of this Kartavirya Arjuna, but he ended by killing the 21 times the entire Kshatriya race。
那 Parashurama 呢Parashurama 他为了要报仇，所以呢他就在战场上杀死了 Kartavirya Arjuna 和他的父亲，然后呢又21次的斩杀了整个的刹帝利族。
And he killed the entire Kshatriya race 21 times。
他把这个就是刹帝利这一族呢21次的进行了屠杀。
The whole planet was devoided of Kshatriyas。
那所以说呢，当时整个这个星球里面就再也没有任何的刹帝利了。
So there was no progeny.
所以呢就没有后代了。
So the queens, they approach the great, saintly persons, and they ask them to procreate, to procreate on their womb children to continue the Kshatriya race.
所以呢这些王后们呢就来找到圣人并且请求圣人们能够让他们的子宫受孕从而呢能够继续的繁衍沙德利族。
So, we can actually invite a purified Brahmana, and offer him gifts, offer him whatever he wants, and let him raise children by Ambika and Abalika.
所以说呢，你是可以去邀请非常纯粹的婆罗门，通过向他们供奉纯的酥油，或者是供奉任何这个合适的这个献祭品，然后使他们。来协助 Amba 和 Ambalika 的子宫中受孕。
So Satyavati actually agreed with Bhishma on that.
所以说呢 ,Satyavati 呢他其实他就同意了 Bhishma 他给他提出的这个建议。
And then he told Bhishma something Bhishma did not know.
然后 Satyavati 就向 Bhishma 讲了一些 Bhishma 并不知道的事情。
So, Satyavati told Bhishma something that she was always keeping secret.
Satyavati 向他向 Bhishma 讲述了一段他始终隐藏的一段往事。
She was alone with Bhishma when she was telling this.
那么当他向 Bhishma 讲述这段往事的时候呢，他们俩是单独在一起的。
And he told Bhishma, my father was a very honest person. He was a fisherman, the king of the fishermen. He was a very simple but very honest person.
他说呢，我的父亲呢是一位非常的简单，但是呢很诚实的一位渔夫。
He always practiced pious activities.
他总是进行着虔诚的活动。
And in order to maintain the family, he kept a boat to row the passengers from one side to the other side of the Jamuna River.
他为了要养家呢，他就有一条船。他这条船呢是在亚穆纳河来帮助人们渡过河的，从一边渡到另外一边去。
And sometimes.I would take charge of rowing this boat.
但有的时候呢，我就会帮我的父亲来划船。
When I was still a young girl.
那当时呢，我还是一个很年轻的姑娘。
So one day, the great sage Parashara Muni.The great sage Parashara Muni came, and I was with the boat, and he requested me to take him across the river.
那有一天呢，这位圣人 Parashara Muni 他就来了。那么当时呢，我是在驾船，所以呢，他就请求我帮他给渡到河的那边去。
He said, when we were in the middle of the river, the sage.Told me that he wanted to give me progeny.
然后当我们的这个船划到河的中央的时候呢，这位圣人就对我说，他想让我受孕，他想让我有后代。
I was very surprised.
那当时我非常的惊讶。
I was still a young girl. I mean, I was not even thinking of Mary at that time.
当时我还是一个很年轻的姑娘，那会儿我还根本就没有想过嫁人这件事儿。
I was afraid that if I don't obey to this sage, he would maybe curse me.
但是当时我很害怕，因为我觉得如果我要是不服从这位圣人的命令的话呢，那他可能就会诅咒我。
Or if I obey him, then my father would be in great anger. He may reject me.
但是如果我要是从了他的话呢，那我的父亲肯定就会非常的愤怒，而且我的父亲可能会把我给驱逐出门的。
But he said, but the sage, this great sage, he completely controlled my mind.
但是呢，这位伟大的圣人他完全控制了我的心意。
And then he created a big dense fog in the river. Nobody could see us.
然后呢，他又在这个河上，升起了一片很浓的雾，从而使得没有人能够看见我们。
So I have to accept and satisfy this desire.
所以呢，我就必须得接受他，而且我还得满足他的欲望，愿望。
You see, before that time, my body always had this fishy smell because being always with my father, and he's a fisherman, so my body was always with the smell of a fish, which is a strong smell.
那因为我呢是一个渔夫的女儿，我一天到晚都在跟我父亲一块打鱼，所以呢我浑身都是鱼腥味儿，那这鱼腥味儿是很强的。
So, but after this great rishi, this great sage, Parashara Muni, touched me, then my body started radiating a very fragrant aroma.
但是自从被这位伟大的圣人 Parashara Muni 触碰过之后呢，我的这个身体就开始散发着很甜美的芬芳。
That's why your father later on became attracted to me because of the fragrance emanating from my body.
这也就是为什么后来你的父亲被我所吸引，其中的一个原因呢，也是由于从我的身体里面所散发的这个很诱人体香而导致的。
So Parashara Muni, he conceived me a child, and the child was born right there immediately in the river while Parashara Muni disappeared.
那么 Parashara Muni 他令我受孕，而且呢，这个孩子在我受孕之后立刻就在船上降生了。那么在这个孩子生出来的时候呢，Parashara Muni 他就消失了。那么当时呢，我很惊讶。
And this, and the child was born was Vyasadeva, the great sage.
而生出来的这个孩子呢，就是伟大的圣人 Vyasadeva.
I was amazed.
所以我很震惊。
And he was already a grown up man.
而且这孩子一生出来以后呢，就是一个长成，就是一个长成了的大人。
All this happened in a question of minutes.
所以所有的这一切呢，都是在片刻间就完成了，就发生了。
Very mysterious.
很玄秘。
So he told me.And yesterday, he told me, my dear mother, if one day you will be in difficulty, please just remember me, and I will come to you by the speed of the mind. I will immediately come to you to assist you.
然后维亚斯大夫对我说，他说，亲爱的母亲，将来等你遇到困难时，你只要内心一想我，我立刻就会。显现在你的面前来帮助你。
So this was the first time that Satyavati was telling somebody else.
所以这个是 Satyavati 第一次把这件事情告诉给其他的人。
She had maintained this secret with her all the time, had never told anyone, because Vyasadeva, after he was born,And giving this promise to his mother, he also disappeared. And she found herself in the middle of the Jamuna, rowing the boat without anybody.
所以呢，就这么多年呢，Satyavati 他始终都保守着这个秘密，他谁都没有说过。原因就是由于当 Vyasadeva 一出生，然后呢和他讲了以后你有困难就来找，就是用心来想我这话说完之后呢。Vyasadeva 也消失了，所以呢，这就变成了只剩下 Satyavati 一个人留在 这个亚莫乃河的这条船上，在摇着这条船，而没有其他的人。
And Parashara Muni also told her that she would give birth, but she would not lose her virginity.
而且呢，Parashara Muni 也对 Satyavati 说，你会生出这个孩子，但是呢，你依然还会保持你的处女之身。
So this was a very mysterious happening, the birth of Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of the Lord.
所以说呢，对于主的化身 Srila Vyasadeva 的降生呢，是一件很玄秘的事情。
So she told, after telling this story,he requested Bhishma, if you desire, I can call him this right now.
所以呢，萨迪亚瓦提就对 Bhishma Dev 说，如果你要是愿意的话呢，那我现在此时就可以呼唤 Srila Vyasadeva。
So when Bhishma heard about this, Bhishma was so in great reverence because he knew the glories of Srila Vyasadeva.
所以呢，当时了，那当 Bhishma Dev 听到这段故事之后呢，他当时就心生敬畏，因为他知道 Srila Vyasadeva 是多么伟大的一位人物。
He said, "This is Vyasadeva is a great sage."
而且呢 ，Vyasadeva 呢是一位伟大的圣人。
And he is in full control of his mind and senses.
他完全控制着他的感官和心意。
Nobody could be a more fit person to give progeny in a womb of Ambika Nambalika than this great sage.
除了这位伟大的圣人之外，没有谁更加的适合让Ambika 和Ambalika 受孕了。
So Satyavati, with agreement of Bhishma, she immediately meditates, thought, just thought about Vyasadeva in her mind, and Vyasadeva in a few moments, he was there in front of her.
所以呢，在 Bhishma Dev 的允许之下呢 ，Satyavati 就在内心中冥想着 Srila Vyasadeva， 使得在片刻中呢 ，Srila Vyasadeva 立刻就显现在了他的面前。
Vyasadeva offered obeisance to his mother.
Srila Vyasadeva 向他的母亲顶拜。
Here I am, as I promised you.If you want, you need my service. Here I am. Whatever you want me to do, you just tell me, my dear mother.
他说我亲爱的母亲，就像我向您所承诺的那样，我在您一想到我立刻就显现在了您的面前。那么您要让我做任何的服务，我都会立刻效力。
So Satyavati explained to Vyasadeva, you see, recently.Our king, my son, Vichitravirya, he passed away without leaving any descendant. Now the Kuru dynasty is in danger of disappearing.
他说呢，我亲爱的儿子，情况是这样的，在不久前呢，我的儿子 Vichitravirya, 英年早逝，那他并没有留下任何的后代。这样就导致我们整个的王国呢，就处于濒临灭绝的状态。
We have here Bhishma. Bhishma is here. He is the son of King Santanu, but he has taken a vow of celibacy and he cannot marry and beget children.
那我们虽然有 Bhishma Dev 在，他是 Santanu 王的儿子，但是由于呢，他发下了终身贞守的誓言，以至于呢，他没有办法结婚，也不能够有任何的后代。
So Vichitravirya, he left two widows, Ambika and Ambalika, and I request you to conceive children in their womb so that Kuru dynasty can be continued.
那 Vichitravirya 呢，他留下了两位遗孀，那这两位遗孀呢，没有任何的孩子，所以呢，我请求您使他们两个人受孕，从而呢，能够使Kuru 王朝。有后人可以传宗接代。
So, Vyasadeva said, I can do, certainly I can do, my dear mother. Let me just prepare for one full year and we the queens can also prepare themselves for 1 year, and then after 1 year, I can come back and I can create progeny in their wombs.
然后，说到维亚萨蒂夫就说呢，说我亲爱的母亲，毫无疑问我是可以这么做的。所以呢，现在就让我们各自都准备一年，然后在这一年中呢，我和这两位皇后呢，他们都可以有各自的这种准备，然后在一年之后呢，我再次回来，然后呢，我就可以使他们俩受孕。
Satyavati said, "My dear son, we don't have time. Our planet is without an emperor, without a king."
那 Satyavati 说，我亲爱的儿子，我们并没有这一年的时间来等待了，因为现在我们的整个的这个星球就处于没有国王的状态。
But Vyasadeva said, "Look, my dear mother, look at my body. I don't look attractive because I've been living in a forest, cover my body with ashes, neglecting to cut my hair, and I live without clothes, practically without clothes. My hair is all matted locks, not combed, because I live alone, don't performing my austerities. So I don't look attractive for a queen." So if if Ambika and Ambalika they are able to tolerate my ugliness, then that can be possible. But I don't know.
然后施拉维亚斯德说我亲爱的母亲，可是您现在看看我这个样子，因为我常年都身居在森林里，我根本就没有关注我自己的这个形象，所以说呢，我浑身都铺满了土，满头都是乱发，我也没有穿上衣服，其实我就基本上就是赤身裸体的这种状态，而且呢也都蓬头垢面，所以我现在很丑。那当然，如果要是Ambalika 和Ambika 他们要是能够容忍我的这种丑陋的状态的话呢，那当然是没有问题的，可是我不能够保证他们能够容忍我现在的这种丑陋的样子。
Because in fact, a great sage living in a forest materially is not attractive, does not look handsome and attractive to a princess.
因为呢，这个事实就是圣人他是居住在森林里的，而且呢，他的这种形象本来就是没有想着要去吸引公主或者王后。
But Satyavati said no, it has to be done very, very soon. So he went. And he told one of them, he told Ambika first, approach her and explain the situation. And he said, you see, it's for the benefit of the Kuru dynasty, there is, and for the benefit of the world, there is, it's now time for you to conceive a child. And there is one brother of your departed husband can do this to you.
但是 Satyavati 就说呢，不行，我们现在没有时间等，因为我们现在就是到了这很关键的时刻，所以呢，他就去找这两位皇后。他首先找的是 Ambika， 他说呢，就是现在呢，由于这个为了设计的考虑，我们找到了你的亡夫的一位兄长。那他现在呢可以使你的子宫中受孕，然后呢这个 Satyavati 还向他解释了就这种状况所处的这个状况。
So he told her to dress nicely, put nice jewelry and everything, and wait in her room that very soon her brother-in-law would come to give her a child, to procreate the child in her womb.
所以呢 ，Satyavati 就对Ambika 说呢，你现在先把自己好好的装扮一番，穿衣打扮，戴上首饰，然后在你的房间里面等着。然后呢，很快呢，你的这位兄长就会来到你的房间里面，然后呢，来帮助你受孕。
So Ambika agreed to that, and she was.Decorated herself, dressed and decorated herself very nicely, and arranged very nice her chambers, everything very beautiful, very attractive, because she was thinking that maybe was Bhishma, because the only person he knew, the brother of her departed husband, was Bhishma. He didn't know anybody else, so she thought it was Bhishma. So she was quite excited, because Bhishma was known as a very great personality.
所以安比卡呢就同意了，她把自己精心的装扮了一番，穿上漂亮的衣服，戴上美丽的首饰，然后呢还把她自己的这个寝宫也很好的修饰了一番。因为呢她内心里想的这个来帮她受孕的这个人应该是毕什么，因为就她来知道呢，她的亡夫只有毕什么这么一位兄长，她不知道还有其他的兄长。所以呢，他也知道毕什么是一位非常伟大的人物，所以他此时内心是非常的兴奋和激动的。
So suddenly Vyasadeva entered the room.
然后突然之间呢 ，Vyasadeva 就进入了他的寝宫。
And when Ambika saw this sage with matted locks and a gray body and ugly features, she was so.Fearful that she closed her eyes during the time of the conception. She didn't want to look at him.
但是呢，当安比卡看到了这位，奇丑无比，然后浑身都是土，然后满头都是发辫的这个人进到他的房间里的以后呢，他一下就吓坏了。所以在整个这受孕的过程中呢，他始终都闭着眼睛，因为他根本就不想看他。
But during the whole act of conception, she kept her eyes closed.
就在整个这个受孕的过程中呢，她都是把眼睛紧闭着的。
So when Vyasadeva came out of her chambers, Satyavati was waiting for him.
所以当施了维亚瑟德夫从他的寝宫中出来的时候呢，萨提奥瓦提就在门外等着他。
So she was eager to know, will Ambika have a very wonderful child.
所以呢，他就非常急切的想知道，是不是安比克将会有一个非常的优秀的孩子。
He said, Vyasadeva said, yes, the child born from Ambika will be a very, very powerful, very powerful king.
那Vyasadeva就说呢，那么从安比克的子宫中所生下的这个孩子呢，将是一位非常的神勇的国王。
He would be as powerful, as strong as 10,000 elephants.
那么他将有如一万头大象那么有力。
He will be a great sage, and he will possess great learning, great intelligence.
那么他呢将会是一位很伟大的圣人，而且呢他也会非常的博学，有很好的智慧。
But because her mother, the princess, had closed her eyes during the conception, the child will be born blind.
但是呢，就是由于她的母亲在整个受孕的过程中呢是紧闭双眼的，所以当这个孩子生出来的时候呢，就会天生目盲。
So when Satyavati heard this prediction, she was devastated.
所以当萨提奥巴提听到了这个预言之后呢，他简直就崩溃了。
How can a blind king rule the earth?
一位瞎眼的国王怎么能够统治地球呢？
How can he lead his country people?
他怎么能够领导他的国人呢？
So you have to conceive another child.Who can really act as a king? Because I cannot see how this child can be a king.
所以呢，你必须还得再生一个孩子，因为呢，这个孩子才能够真正的去统治这个国王，这个王国。那因为我现在没有办法想象一个目盲的孩子，一个目盲的人怎么能够统治王国呢？
So Vyasadeva agreed, and he said he would come later in due course of time.After 9 months, Ambika gave birth.
那么，施拉维亚瑟德夫就同意了。他说：“那好吧，那我就到时间的合适的时候呢，我会再来。”所以说呢，在9个月之后呢，Ambika 他就生下了一个儿子。
And it was a nice boy, but it was blind.
这是一个很漂亮的男孩，但是呢，他是看不见的。
And he was given the name Dhritarashtra.
那么这个孩子被起名叫 Dhritarashtra。
So now we are hearing about great personalities that we encounter in the Bhagavad Gita.
那所以现在我们已经听到了一位我们比较熟悉的伟大人物，因为我们在《博家梵歌》里面呢是听到过他的名字的 ，Dhritarashtra。
So Satyavati was still very anxious because they needed a male child who could rule the world.
而萨迦瓦提这会儿呢还依然非常的焦虑，因为他们需要有一个男孩，需要这个国家有一个男孩可以继承王位，可以统治这个国家。
So she talked with Ambalika and then Ambalika agreed to conceive a child.
所以呢萨迦瓦提就和 Ambalika 商量，然后 Ambalika 呢他同意了能够愿意生这个孩子。
So she thought of us, of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva came.
所以呢萨迦瓦提又一次冥想舍拉维亚萨德夫，然后舍拉维亚萨德夫呢又来了。
So when Vyasadeva entered in the chambers in a room of Ambalika, when he saw his features, she became pale with fear.
所以说呢当舍拉维亚萨德夫进入到 Ambalika 的寝宫，然后 Ambalika 见到了 Srila Vyasadeva 的这副尊容之后呢，他就在恐惧中变得苍白。
So after the conception, when he came out, he told his mother, "She will give birth to a very nice child, but it will be born with a very weak health, very pale."
就是这个房事完了之后呢，然后当舍拉维亚萨德夫走出寝宫，然后他就对萨提亚瓦提对他的母亲说，Ambalika 他将生下一个很好的男孩，但是呢这个男孩他生出来之后呢身体就会很柔弱，他就会很苍白。
And his name will be Pandu.
那他的名字呢将会是 Pandu.
And after 9 months, Ambalika gave birth to Pandu.
那么在九个月之后呢 ，Ambalika 就生下了 Pandu.
So he was very handsome child and very very attractive and with very auspicious marks in his body.
那这个孩子呢很美，而且呢也很吸引人，而且在身体上呢还有一些很吉祥的印记。
He would become the father of the 5 Pandavas later on.
那么后来呢 ，Pandu 就是这 Pandava 五兄弟的父亲。
So if his health would be very weak, he could not be a strong king.
但是呢 ，Pandu 的身体很弱，所以说呢，他也不能成为一位很强壮的国王。
So after some time, Satyavati again approached Ambalika and ask her if she could conceive a child with Vyasadeva again.
那所以过了一段时间之后呢，Satyavati 他又来找 Ambalika， 就问他愿不愿意再生一个孩子。
So Ambalika said yes.
那 Ambalika 说可以。
To not disappoint her mother.
但他这么说呢，是为了不。让他的母亲失望。
But when she was in her chambers waiting for Vyasadeva to come, she was thinking about the experience she had before. So she decided, no, I cannot do this again. And she asked one of her maid servants, who was very beautiful, very attractive, and dressed her very nicely, decorated very nice, and asked her to take her place.
但是呢当 Ambalika 回到自己的寝宫，然后在琢磨这件事的时候，他越想就越觉得之前的上次的这个记忆的阴影使他觉得他不可能再承受一次了。所以呢他就找来了他的一位很漂亮的一位女仆，然后呢把这位女仆呢给装扮了起来，然后呢让这个女仆来代替他来完成这件事情。
So when Vyasadev entered the room, the maidservant offered respects to the sage and treated him very nicely, very kindly, served him very nicely. So Vyasadev was very pleased with her.
所以呢，当舍拉维亚萨德夫进入到寝宫之后呢，这位女仆就向舍拉维亚萨德夫顶拜，并且呢还很好的服侍照顾了她。所以呢，她的一番服侍呢就非常的取悦舍拉维亚萨德夫。
So after conceiving a child in her womb, before leaving, he told her, "From now on, you will not be a maid servant anymore." He knew she was the maid servant.
所以呢，当他在他的子宫中受孕之后呢，要他在离开，就是在舍拉维亚萨德夫即将离开的时候，他对这位女仆说：“从现在开始，你将不再是女仆的身份。”所以舍拉维亚萨德夫从一开始就知道和他完成这件事情的这个女子呢，实际上是安贝利克的女仆。
Your child will be endowed with many saintly qualities.
他对他说呢，你的孩子将会赋予很多神圣的品质。
You will be justice personified.
他将是公平的化身。
And you will be a very, very loved by very intelligent people in this planet.
而且呢，他会非常的受在这个星球上的有智慧的人的爱戴。
So when he left the room, he told his mother about what happened, that Ambalika had deceived him by sending a maidservant instead of herself.
所以当他离开的时候，见到他的母亲萨迪巴提的时候，他就对他的母亲和盘托出了Ambalika如何欺骗了他，把他的女仆来代替他完成这件事情。
Because a child born of a Shudra, a servant, a woman, could also not become a king.
但是由于这个孩子呢是由一位苏哲母亲所生的，所以呢，这个由苏哲母亲所生的这个孩子呢，他也不可能成为国王。
So after this, Vyasadeva disappeared.
那在说完这话之后呢，说到 Vyasadeva 就消失了。
And the child born from this maid servant, his name was Vidura.
从这位女仆的子宫中降生的这个孩子的名字呢，叫 Vidura.
Vidura was actually an incarnation of Yamaraj.
Vidura 实际上是 Yamaraj 阎罗王的化身。
He was actually Yamaraj because Yamaraj had been cursed by a great Muni.And because of that curse, he had to take birth on earth as a Shudra.
实际上，维杜拉他就是 Yamaraj 本人，因为 Yamaraj 呢，他被一位伟大的圣人诅咒。这诅咒呢，就是他必须要在地球降生，而且呢，是要由一位 Sudra 所生。
So, from Ambika and Ambalika, Vyasadeva gave two children.The two sons, the Dhritarashtra and Pandu, who could save, at least they could save the dynasty from extinction.
所以呢，由 Ambika 和 Ambalika 呢，就生出了两个儿子。那这两个儿子分别是 Dhritarashtra 和 Pandu。那有的这两个儿子呢，至少就可以使Kuru 王朝呢，暂时不会处于灭绝的状态。
So we're gonna see so many episodes with these personalities, Dhritarashtra and Pandu, participate.
那所以关于 Dhritarashtra 和 Pandu 呢，我们就会听到关于他们的很多的故事，在很多章节里面都会有他们的故事。
And we hear also very much about Vidura, the saintly Vidura, the brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu.
那关于神圣的 Vidura 的故事呢，也就是 Pandu 和 Dhritarashtra 的弟弟的故事呢，我们也会听到很多。
So you can see these personalities are not ordinary.
所以我们可以看到所有的这些人物，他们都不是普通人。
Their birth is not ordinary.
而且他们的降生也不是普通的。
Because they all came as part of the plan of the Lord for a particular pastime of the Lord.
他们其实呢，全部都是来自于主的，特别的这些安排，都是来自于主的一个特别的消时光中的显现。
So we stop here for tonight.
那所以今天晚上的这节讲课呢，我们就先停在这儿了。
We go slowly, slowly like that.
那我们呢，就是故意要放慢速度来慢慢的讲。
So if there is any, if you have any comments or any question, you can ask now.
那所以如果大家有任何的问题或者任何的评述呢，我们现在可以来讨论。Ashu, because right now we haven't got any questions, so can I ask a question?
Yes, you can ask a question or many questions.
因为现在我还没有看到大家的问题，所以我就插个空来请教阿叔一个问题，就是because that Srila Vyasadeva said that let's wait for a year, let's do some preparation, you know, for the girls and also for myself to have some preparing. But Yasadeva Vati said that no, we don't have time to do that. We have to do it in a hurry, so we have to do it now. So that's why he has to remain in that kind of dirty, ugly looking to go to have that kind of conception process with the Ambika. But you know, later, he come back like 9 months later and 9 months later. So means he does have the time to prepare himself. And he also know that he will come back later because he promised his mother to do that. But the next time when he come back, he still remain that kind of fearful looking. So how's that? Why he's not coming back with a more beautiful looking? Because that is what he suggested earlier. 我的问题是这样的，因为那个开始萨迪亚瓦提妈妈对 Vyasadeva 说让他去和 Ambika 进行这个就是进行这个同房的时候，那么他说呢，我们现在还不能这么快，我们得赶紧，我们得这有一年的这个准备的这个时间，然后这样的话呢就不会把这个公主给吓着。但是其实等他一年之后再回来的时候呢，他依然还是就是不修边幅的那个样子，依然还是把安贝利特给吓着了。所以我就想请教一下阿叔，为什么他之前都已经说过他要准备一下，为什么在这一年他还没有准备呢？
Well, that's a very nice question. I have never thought about that.
阿叔说这是一挺好的问题，但是我从来没想过。
So I never read anything about that.
而且呢，我也没读过关于这方面的信息。
But again, I think this is just the way things have to go through. So Ambalika had to have the same experience of encountering him as Ambika encountered him. So Vyasadeva wanted that this it was part of a plan, master plan. So the things have to develop in this way, but it's a nice point. Yeah, it's a nice point, no doubt.
但是我想呢，因为就是整个这个消时光，它就必须要这样的去展示。那所以说呢，说到 Vyasadeva， 他就必须得让这个Ambalika 和 Ambika 他们俩要有这种相同的体验才行。所以说呢，因为这整个都是整个的这总体规划的一部分的这个展示，所以呢，这个事情才是这样的去进展的。但是呢，毫无疑问，就是这个问题，还是一个挺好的一个问题。
I never heard Srila Prabhupada mention anything about that, and the translations of Mahabharata available to us that we know are bona fide. I've never seen any mention of that, any reason why.Particular reason why he didn't prepare himself in a different way.
但是我从来没有听过这个 Srila Prabhupada 的或者在 Mahabharata 的任何的注解里面对于这件事情有过任何的解释，就是为什么 Srila Vyasadeva 他并没有让自己做一个更好的准备。 Yeah, I never thought about that either, you know, just because when I'm hearing recitation of the story.Yeah, because you said that he is the one, you know, to suggest that they need to have some preparation. But,
exactly. So he's the one who wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah. 呀，我跟他说，我说其实我之前也没琢磨这事儿，但只不过是刚才听他说讲课的时候，是因为说到 yesterday，他自己提出来要准备一下的，所以呢，我才就比较好奇，想请教一下。Anyway, Ashu, so we have more questions here, so maybe we just move
Okay.
on. Thank you so
Okay,
much.
没错。哎
呀，那
呦。
然后下面这个问题呢是仰慕的 Tira 妈姐的问题，顶拜阿叔，顶拜甜美翻译，谢谢您。今天讲到苦乐源于业报，是否意味着我们的所作所为对他人，特别是亲近的人，比如伴侣、孩子等的苦乐，也没有任何责任的呢？请阿叔解释，感恩阿叔。Ashu, please accept my vulnerable witnesses. The in the lecture of today, you mentioned that actually for the karmic reactions, what we encountered, what we experienced, actually that is due to our own deed from our previous life or whatever we have done before. So is this means that even for our very close relatives, for example, like our husbands, I mean, like our spouse, our children, even for their suffers or their happiness, whatever they experience due to their own activities has nothing to do with us. Means about that we don't need to take any responsibility for their suffers and happiness, right? Could you explain about that?
No, we have to take our responsibilities. We have to know as human beings what is right, what is not right. That we have to know.
那首先呢，就是我们必须得去负我们的责任。那么作为人类来说呢，我们必须要知道什么是正确的，什么是错误的。
If you are a father or mother, you have to know what is the responsibility of a father or mother.
那如果你要是一位父亲或者一位母亲，你首先必须要知道，作为父亲或母亲，他应该承担的责任是什么。
If you are a teacher, you have to know what is responsibility to the students.
那如果要是一位老师，他也应该知道老师对于孩子所负的责任是什么。
If you are a ruler of a country, you should know what is your responsibility to your citizens.
那么，如果要是一位国家的统治者的话，那他就应该知道他对于他所统治地区的这些臣民们所应该负的责任是什么。
So we have to perform our duties properly. This is our obligation as human beings. We have to perform our duties properly.
所以说呢，作为人来讲呢，我们必须要履行我们的职责。那我们的职责就是，我们必须要非常恰当的去履行我们的职责。
But it's not because you perform our duties properly that our children will be happier or will suffer.
但是并不意味着我们很恰当的去履行了我们的职责，就会使我们的孩子受苦或者是快乐。
And you see, sometimes the parents are very loving and they want to take very nice care of their children, but the children get a very serious disease and they die unexpectedly. So the parents are devastated, even though they did their duties, the child dies, suffers and dies.
那有的时候我们会看到这个父母亲，他们对这个孩子是宠爱有加，而且呢也是尽职尽责。但即便是他这么做了以后呢，这个孩子依然还是会生病、受苦，然后甚至于会早夭。那么这个父母亲呢，就因为这个会很痛苦。
So it's not the responsibility of the parents because the parents they did their best, they performed their duty. It's just that the karma of the child that had to undergo that suffering and die prematurely.
那所以说呢，就这个孩子他受苦，并不是由于他的父母亲的责任所导致的。他的父母亲其实是尽职尽责的，但这孩子他之所以会受苦，甚至于会早夭的原因呢，是由于他自己的业报导致的。
So we are responsible to perform our duties properly. This is our responsibility. And if you don't follow our duties properly, we will receive bad karma. You will be punished later on. It means you're going to receive also a bad treatment, you know, from our superiors, our parents, whatever. But the pain, the suffering and happiness that everybody experiences is not due to our activities. It's due to their karma.
所以说呢，就是作为父母也好，或者作为任何一个职责上的人也好，他必须要去履行他在这个位置上的职责。否则他如果是不履行这个职责的话，他就会因为没有履行职责而产生业报，从而呢会受到这个没有履行职责而导致的报应。但是呢，但是这个他不是，并不意味着他履行了职责就会使他职责范围内的这些人就会不再去受苦，不再会有任何的业报的反应了，不是的。那么就是他就是这些，就是跟他相关的这些人，他其实也依然还是会由于自己的业报而受苦，或者早夭，或者生病。
So you may say, okay, this child is very fortunate, is very happy because she has very loving parents. So the loving parents, they're just agents of the good karma of that particular child.They came as their parents because the child deserved, because of her karma, deserved to have such parents.
那也许你可能会说，哎，这个小孩真的是非常的幸运，因为他有这么爱他的父母。但是这个小孩他之所以能够有这么好，就这么爱他的父母，而且他会生活的这么快乐的原因呢，是由于他自己好的业报所导致的，就是由于他之前的好的虔诚的活动而导致的这个业报，使得他有了这样一个能够让他很快乐的生活的爱他的父母亲。这些父母亲只不过是他在享受他好的业报的一个媒介而已。
So we act as agents of somebody's karma.
对我们呢，其实是作为其他人的业报的媒介而显现的。
But we are responsible for whatever we do. We cannot say, oh, I'm the agent, I'm just the agent. I'm just used to create harm to this person. So I have no responsibility, I'm just used. No, we are responsible for what we're doing. But nature uses us to make somebody, to give suffering to somebody or happiness to somebody else.By our deeds, but we are responsible for our deeds.
但是呢，我们必须要为我们所做的事情负责。就我们是要为我们所从事的这些活动负责的，不应该说哦，反正我是其他的人的受苦或者快乐的一个媒介，那我是被利用了，然后呢去让别人受苦的，所以呢我不用为我做的事情负责，不是这样的。即使虽然说这个自然他用我们作为这个媒介，但是我们依然还是要为我们自己所从事的这个活动而负责。
So you cannot harm somebody and then tell the person, this is what you deserve, is your karma. It may be true that what that person deserves, but you are doing a sinful activity and you are going to have to pay for that.
所以你不能够就是欺负了一个人，然后呢你就会然后去跟那个人说，哎呀，你知道吗，我这么做的原因呢都是因为你的业报所导致的。那也许可能的确是因为这个人的业报导致了我们可能会对他做一些伤害他的事情。但是呢我们也会因为我们做了这个伤害别人的这个事情而被我们自己的业报所惩罚。
So we are responsible for our activities. So whatever we do, you're going to experience the karma. If you are acting some way as the agent of somebody's karma, that's another thing. That's what the person deserves. But we are responsible for our activities. So this is what you have to pay attention to.
那么所以说呢，我们必须要注意的一点就是我们要为我们自己的行动去负责，而且呢我们自己的行动会给我们造成后面的这个报应。那也许可能确实是由于对方的那个人的业报导致了，就他的这个业报导致了我们可能从事的这个活动呢会伤害到他，而伤害他是他自己由于他自己的业报而咎由自取，但是我们也因为我们从事了这个活动而会产生业报。
So a parent cannot mistreat their child and then say, oh, it's their karma. The parents are responsible for not doing their duty as parents properly, and they will suffer the reaction to that.
那所以说作为一个家长他是不可以去虐待他的孩子的而且不能够虐待他的孩子还说这就是你的这个业报所导致的。那么这个家长他从事的这个行为他所做的这个活动是也会让他自己去遭到他的这个业报的这个反应的。
So we have to take a responsibility, as human beings, we have to take a responsibility for all our actions.
那么所以说呢作为人我们就必须要为我们所从事的所有的行动要负责负全责。
But whatever we receive in a form of happiness or distress, this is our due because of our karma. We cannot blame anyone.
那比如说我们无论是在受苦我们还是在感受到快乐这其实全部都由我们的行动而导致的。那我们就是所以呢不用用不用为了我们现在所遭遇的任何的这种。对我们就不会要为我们现在所处的任何的这种处境去指责其他的任何一个人。
We can only blame ourselves.
我们唯一能指责的只有自己。
Because we are responsible for whatever we are experiencing now in a form of suffering or enjoyment.
因为我们现在无论是在享受还是在受苦这都是我们自己导致的。
So it's a very subtle difference. Huh? We have to do our duties. Otherwise, we're going to suffer the reaction to not doing proper our duties. But whatever happens to us, it's not the fault of my mother. It's not the fault of my father. It's not the fault of the government. It's my own responsibility. I did wrong in a past life. And now I have to take birth in this particular family, in this particular country, and go through this particular situation. It's my karma. It's my responsibility.
所以呢，这个比较精微的一点呢，就首先呢，我要履行我自己的职责。因为如果我要是不履行我自己的职责的话呢，我就会为我没有履行好我自己的这个职责而遭受到业报的反应。那么另外一点呢，就是，我因为我现在就是我如果现在有一个特别的处境，我可能是在受苦，但是呢，我不能够因为我现在这个受苦去指责我的父母亲，或者是指责我所在的这个国家，或者指责任何一个人。那我之所以有现在这个处境呢，完全是由于我之前的行为而导致的。我现在必须要处在这样的处境之中。
Next question.
Next question is still from Yamuna Tirama 的请问阿叔，从圣维亚萨的父亲这件事情上看，圣人是否也有不能控制感官的时候呢？这事很让人迷惑。Okay, my question is that from the father of Srila Vyasadeva, Parasara Muni. So from this, can we say that actually sometimes the sages, they also have the, you know, the moment of situation, they cannot really control their senses. So I'm quite confused about, you know, this incident. Could you explain?
Yeah, sages, if they are not pure, if they are not pure in heart,They can still have lusty desires.
就是作为圣人，如果他内心中不纯净的话，那他依然还是会有这种色欲的欲望的。
But was not the case with Parashara Muni. That was very mystical.
但是这个并不适用于 Parashara Muni 的情况。那他所在的这个情况，实际上是一个很玄秘的情况，很玄秘的状态。
He was meant to give birth to procreate Vyasadeva, and he did it in the womb of Satyavati without disturbing her virginity, and the child was born immediately. This was mystical.
因为呢，就是他的显现的目的就是为了要使Srila Vyasadeva降生，而且呢，当他在让Srila Vyasadeva降生的整个这件事情安排中呢。并没有毁掉 Satyavati 的处女之身， 而且呢，当 Srila Vasudev 一降生之后呢，立刻就成为了一个大人，所以整个这件事情的这个发展呢是非常的玄秘的。
So in externally, we may think like that. Oh, he's a great sage and he lost control and he fall down with his little young girl in the middle of the river. But no, when you see the purpose behind that, it was all used by providence to give birth to a great personality, Vyasadeva. He's not an ordinary person. If he would be just an ordinary sex thing in the middle of the river, certainly not a great saintly person like Vyasadeva would be born from such a sexual act.
就是一个普通的一个人降生的话，那他 ，sorry, Ashwa, I'm a little bit distracted by something just now. 对不起啊，我刚才被一点事情给这个稍微分了点神。就是如果要是他这个降生只是为了一个普通的孩子降生的话，那显然，那他肯定是这个圣人他自己没有把持住，他的这个感官可能出了轨了。但是由于他做的这件事情呢，是为了要让 Srila Vyasadeva 的降生。所以说呢，就让这件事情显得不平凡了。
Okay, Sumukhi Radha also has a question.
Yeah, Sumukhi Radha Maji's question is that, 顶拜亲爱的阿叔和奉献者们，您之前讲课时说，Satyavati 不是一般的灵魂，您可以讲讲它的来历吗？ Okay, 阿叔 please accept my very humble obeisances. Earlier, in your previous lecture, you said that actually Satyavati is not a normal soul.And she's very special. So is it okay for you to say something about her history, her background?
I don't know more about Satyavati. She certainly was not an ordinary person, as Sumukhi Radha is also not an ordinary person, even though she was born in Dombay from ordinary family of China. But she's not ordinary soul because she's participating in the Sankirtana movement.So in that sense, she was not an ordinary person.
那关于 Satyavati 的这个具体的这个来历呢，其实我不是特别的清楚。但是毫无疑问呢 ，Satyavati 他并不是一位普通的灵魂。那么就像 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 也不是一位普通的灵魂一样。因为虽然呢，好像看似您是出生在东北的某一个普通的家庭里面，但是呢，您不普通的原因是由于。因为您已经参加到了这个 Sankirtan 齐颂圣名的这个运动中，所以已经表明了您并不平凡，也并不普通。
But I'll check more to see if there is any information about Satyavati's previous life.
但是呢，我也会来查一查 Satyavati 的前世是怎么回事。
Okay, Yamuna Tira has another question.
Yeah, Yamuna Tira Maji's question. 请问阿叔 ，Vidura 就是 Yamaraj。那么 Vidura 和 Pandava 五兄弟同处一个时代，那 Yamaraj 怎么又成为了 Yudhishthira 王的父亲了呢 ？Okay, so my question is that Vidura is the incarnation of Yamaraj. However, Vidura and the Pandava brothers, they are in the same age. So if that is case, how come the Yamaraj?Is the father of Yudhishthira.
Incarnation.
对，这个 Vidura 他是Yamaraj 的化身。
So apparently his original form still remain. So that's how he gave birth to Yudhishthira. So yeah, it's the same origin, yeah.
Yeah, 就是说，所以说呢，就是这个，就是 Vidura 他是 Yamaraj 的化身，但是这个 Yamaraj 他的最原初的这个形象依然还在，所以就为什么 Yamaraj 他能够，使 Yudhishthira 王降生
？So sometimes great demigods they can expand themselves in more than one form, even a common sage in this material, in this planet, a yogi can expand himself in nine different forms.
Nine different forms. OK, 那么就是这个半 这个半神人们，他们有的时候是可以同时扩展出不同的形象的。那么就即便是在这个物质世界的瑜伽师，神秘瑜伽师，他也可以让自己扩展出九种不同的形象。
Was that great sage, that great yogi was doing austerities inside the water, and he came out in order to marry with the nine princes of the king. He manifests nine forms of himself.
就是在水中
Forgot his name.
Yeah, 在水中进行苦修的一位圣人，这位圣人的名字我现在一下想不起来了。那么这位圣人呢，他从水里面出来，他为了要娶这九位公主，他就把自己扩展成了九个不同的形象来迎娶这九位公主。
Okay, next.
The next question is from 琪琪。顶巴叔，圣人发怒诅咒别人时是否也有业报？是否没有控制住自己的感官？我有些不明白。他说 please accept my verbal obeisances. So, when the sages, they got angry, they started to curse the others.But when they curse the others, will they also suffer from the karmic reaction? And also, is that because they haven't, the sages haven't control well of his sense, so he get angry and give the curse? I'm a little bit confused about
this. No, they could only curse if they had full control. Otherwise, you can curse somebody.Like you become angry with somebody, you can curse. Does not mean your curse is going to happen. For these great sages, for their curse to happen, means they were instruments. They were used as instruments of the particular karma of the person. So there is a different thing. They have power. They have control of what they were cursing. It's not out of control.
Yeah, 其实只有那种真正的能够控制住自己感官的圣人，他才有可能发出有效的诅咒。那么他发出这个诅咒的时候，他实际上是利用了那个人他自己的业报而给他做出的这个诅咒。但是也许可能我们会感到，也许可能我们会愤怒。Sorry, I haven't finished. I will say. 那也许可能我们愤怒了，然后呢，我们可能会诅咒某人。但是我们这种在愤怒下诅咒的这种情况，它是不会起效的。
When you become angry, we lose control.
因为当我们变得愤怒的时候，其实我们就失去了控制，就失控了。
But the great sages, they don't have the same type of anger. It's not based on frustration of not fulfilling one's desires. It's just usually they curse for the benefit of the person who has done a mistake.
那所以说，但是当圣人他是完全的处在控制，就是完全是控制着自己的这种状态的，他并不是由于他没有得到什么，没有得到满足而让自己感到很沮丧，所以呢他才会去控，才去诅咒。通常来说，他们的诅咒是为了要想着对方的那个福祉，对方的益处，他才会去给他这个诅咒的。
It's always for the benefit of the person who has committed a mistake.
那所以说呢，他的这个诅咒总是为了犯错误的那个人的福祉而着想的。
So it's not the same type of anger. Our anger is based on frustration because of not being able to satisfy all our desires, but not the great sages. It's a calculated anger is for a particular reason.
所以说呢，这个圣人的愤怒跟我们的这个愤怒可是不一样的。我们的愤怒呢，是由于我们没有满足到我们自己的这个享乐的这个愿望而展现出的一种情感。而这个圣人他的这个愤怒呢，这个生气呢，实际上是为了对方的这个福祉，是为了对方好，所以呢，他才会展现出来的一种状态。
Next question.
The next question from Yamuna Tira Mataji. 那么 Amber 在不幸中是否有人要承担责任呢？ Well, because Amber is suffered in the unfortunate. So are there anybody need to take that responsibility at all?
Certainly the parent did not protect her, but she underwent that suffering because of her previous karma.
那么，毫无疑问的，那安巴他之所以处在不幸，是由于他的父母亲没有给他很好的保护。但是他之所以处在这种没有被很好的保护的状态的原因呢，是由于他之前的这个业报所导致的，就之前的行为导致的业报所造成的。
The father could not protect her, and she was taken by Bhishma, and Bhishma could not help her because he could not marry her, could not take care of her, and she had already. It's all an arrangement of destiny for her to be caught in that misfortunate situation. But even that misfortunate situation is going to play a very important role in later on.
那么就是由于他的父亲没有很好的保护他，使得他被 Bhishma 给掠走了。但是又由于这个 Bhishma 不能够娶她，所以导致了他处在一个很不幸的这种状态。但是呢，他的这种不幸呢，就是由于他自己之前的这个行为而导致的，导致了他就命定中必须要受这个苦。但就即便是他受这个苦，也使他后来要扮演一个非常重要的角色。
So as you said, this is all part of Krishna's master plan. We are not talking about ordinary people playing ordinary historical roles. These are all individuals that are picked up by the Lord. Either they were already associates of the Lord or just common souls because of their purity. They deserve now to be in a particular situation. The players of the Mahabharata are not ordinary people.
但是呢，我们
These personalities we are mentioning. These personalities we are mentioning.
但是我们要讲到的呢，就是我们现在所提到的所有的这些人物，他们都不是普通人。所有的这些人全部都是在主的总体的这个规划中要扮演很重要的角色的。
So even though Amba's attitude was not appropriate at that particular time because she was not yet in a frame of mind of a Vaishnava, still she was put into that situation for a particular purpose.
那虽然说 Amba 在这会儿他的这种内心心意并不是 Vaishnava 的心意，但是呢他依然被放置在这样的一个状态下的原因是由于有特别的目的的，就放在这样的角色是因为有特别的目的的，所以主才会把它安放在这样一个状态下。
Again, Mahabharata is not an ordinary historical record.
那么这个 Mahabharata 它并不是一部平凡的历史的记录。
There are so many histories in the world with great kings and great dramas, great scenes, you know, that are very, very touching, very, very attractive, but they have nothing of spiritual. Even in India, there are many stories of king and singer. We don't hear about them, but we hear about Mahabharata and these personalities because they all play a very particular role, great or smaller, but all play a particular role in the drama that the Lord is the most important personality in.
那在这个印度或者在历史在各个国家里面有好多的这些国王的故事，但是呢所有的这些国王的故事或这些圣人的故事他们都不是灵性的，所以呢我们就不会去听这些故事的讲述。但是我们之所以会聆听 Mahabharata 的这个故事的原因呢，是由于它是和主紧密相连的，所有的这些出现的这些人物都是非常的了不起的角色。
That does not mean whatever these personalities do, everything is perfect. No, some of them, they do imperfect things within this drama, but they are going to play a very important part in it because it's the Lord's arrangement.
但是并不是说呢，在 Mahabharata 里面的所有的这些人，他们所从事的都是因功伟绩，并不是这样的。他们其实很多人所从事的这个活动都是不完美的活动，但是呢就是由于主的特别的安排，使得所有的这些人物在整个的这个 Mahabharata 中的这个出现，使得就他们必须要这样出现。
There are some of them that are going to commit very, very, very great mistakes.
甚至于在这里面的其中有一些人物，他们会犯很大的错误。
But Krishna is going to use those mistakes to teach us something very important, some lesson very important.
但是 Krishna 他就会运用，他就他其实他是安排所有的这些重大的错误，是为了要给我们很大的教导，给我们重要的教导。
So even though some of them is going, they're going to take the part of an antagonist, even against Krishna himself, still they are going to play a part that is very important for Krishna to teach us a very important lesson about dharma, about the codes of religion.
那虽然说有些人他们甚至于在这个故事中所显现的就是直接反对 Krishna 本人，但是呢所有这些人物的出现呢都是为了要给我们一个很重要的教导，就是要告诉我们宗教的体系，宗教的律法到底是什么，要告诉我们 Dharma 我们所要履行的职责应该是怎样的。
And then we're going to see which type of people, which type of personalities we should take as a role model and follow in their footsteps, and which type of people we should not follow. We're going to see that very clearly.
然后呢，在 Mahabharata 里面呢，我们也会看得很清楚，有哪些人呢，我们是应该把他们当作我们的榜样，然后我们去追随，去跟随。但是呢，有哪些人是我们一定要摒弃，一定不能够去像他们那样去学习的
？Okay, next question.
The next question is: 阿叔前面已经叙述过 Amba 的不幸是他过往的业报反应 ，Bhishma 没有责任。Actually, I think this one is just the echo Yamuna Tira's question. She's saying about in your previous lecture, you have really said that Amba's unfortunate is because of his previous karmic reaction. However, it's not due to the responsibility of Bhishma.
Bhishma, you have to remember, Bhishma, he took the three princesses with the intention to give to his brother Vichitravirya as his wives. So it was a good purpose, a good intention. And the Amba was supposed to get married also to Vichitravirya, but she told Bhishma, no, I have already given my heart to Salva, the king of Kashi, so you cannot force me to marry with somebody else. So Bhishma told, okay, if that is a fact, then you can go back to Salva. But then Salva didn't want to accept her because she said, you were taken by another man. And in those days, this type of activity, princes, kings, could refuse to marry somebody simply because they spent one day outside of their home in somebody else's house. They could refuse. They were very strict about the purity of character. So she was refused by the person she has given her heart to. He tried to went back to Bhishma and said, it's your fault, you took me away. But Bhishma said, what could I do? You told you have given your heart to somebody else, I'll let you go. So she then became very angry, very agitated with Bhishma, and instead of accepting that it was a response, but it was difficult for her also, very difficult.
那所以刚才阿叔呢又帮咱们又回顾了一下，就是我们要记得Bhishma 他当时是抢走了三位公主，那 Bhishma 的内心的这个意愿呢是要让这三位公主都要嫁给 Vichitravirya 成为他的妻子，但是那两位公主同意了，可是 Amba 呢他说他都已经把他的心都已经许给了 Salva 了，所以呢他不能够嫁给 Vichitravirya，所以呢那 Bhishma 就同意了，所以就把他给放回到 Salva 那里。但是呢在当时的这个情况下，就是沙迪利他们是非常的就是非常的在乎他们所迎娶的这位公主的贞洁的。就是这位公主她如果是在自己的宫外哪怕过了一个晚上，她都有就是这个沙迪利她都有很好的理由来拒绝这位公主。那所以Salva就不想再接受Amba了，虽然Amba在求他，所以呢Amba就又被送回到了Bhishma那里。那么Amba就说，这Bhishma这全都是你的错，一是因为你所以导致了现在我不能够嫁给Salva了。可是Bhishma说， 可是那这又能怎么能赖我呢？是因为你跟我说了，你不能够，你不想，嫁给，就是嫁给我弟弟，但是呢，你得去找 Salva，所以我已经把你送回去了。所以呢，那这个 Amba 他就把他一腔的这个愤怒就倾泻在了 Bhishma 的这个身上，就说这都是 Bhishma 都是你的错，但其实这并不能也算是这个 Bhishma 的错。所以这就是就这样一个过程。So there was a last question. The
What the
last
last
question
question?
from, yeah, the last question from Yamuna Tira Manaji, 尽好职责，顺意接纳一切。境遇，感恩阿叔。Oh, actually, it's not the question. She has a comment here. She said that, so in that case, we need to try our best to do our duty to perform our responsibilities. However, we also need to accept whatever situation we have been placed with. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and now we have more questions. The Hani Manaji, Dimashu, Kuru 王朝诞生了一位瞎子，一位英年早逝的潘度，还有 Vidura，是不是都是为了后来的逍遥时光发展做下的铺垫呢？阿叔，So in Kuru Dynasty, there is a prince who is blinded, and a prince who died in the early age. And also has a sutra born Vidura. All of this is for the for the preparation for the disclose of the later pastime. All of this is just
Yeah.
for the yeah. 是的。
Yeah, they're going to create a very dramatic situation because
是
you're
的，
going
就
to
是。
have a blind king that can, a blind person that cannot be king, and he's very envious of his brother who becomes a king, and his brother becomes the king, is younger but becomes the king but dies very prematurely, and his sons are not grown up enough to take care of the kingdom. So Dhritarashtra is going to take the kingdom for some time. And then he's going to become very envious because he wants his sons to be succeeding him instead of the sons of his brother Pandu. And he's going to create a whole drama that brings to the stage of Kurukshetra war.
的确是这样的，现在呢就在设下一个就是非常戏剧化的一个背景。那么呢，首先这位牧盲的这个孩子 Dhritarashtra，他呢不能够成为国王，但是呢他又很嫉妒成为了国王的比他年纪还小的这位弟弟。但是呢他的弟弟潘度呢又虽然成为了国王，但是呢又英年早逝了。所以呢，然后潘度又留下了一些未成年的孩子。使得这些未成年的孩子呢，又不能够继承王位，使得这个 Rashtra 王呢，又不得不在王位上，这个就是在王位上去帮忙料理这个国家，然后照顾这几个孩子长大。然后对的 Rashtra 王内心呢，又非常的嫉妒，因为他知道他自己的孩子们是不能够成为国王的，必须要辅佐潘度的孩子成为国王。所以呢，整个这一切的这个发展呢，都是为了要使这个，就是为了要使，sorry，他说，他说，just now you mentioned about all of the things is preparing for the
The
Kuru
stage of the
dynasty。
war of Kurukshetra, yes.
所有这一切都是为了铺垫最后在 Kuru 的战场上要打起的这场战争。
So don't be wait because this is a long drama, a long history. So many things are going to happen that is going to answer all your questions.
所以呢，还是请大家有耐心。那么整个这是一个挺长的一个故事，但是随着这个故事的进展呢，所有您脑海里的这个问题都会一一的被解答的。
So many things are going to happen. Many things.
那所以呢，就有很多很多的事情将一一的展现出来，会发生很多很多的故事。
So just be patient and be tuned.
所以呢，请大家拭目以待，而且呢，一定要有耐心。So the next question, sorry,
Yes.
you want to say more? Oh, you want to hear the
Yes.
next question?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah, the next question is still from Honey. 一切都按主题前安排好的进行吗？中间会不会有没有按照 Krishna 的计划意外插曲出现呢？ So everything has been, you know, ongoing as the arrangement from the Lord? Or are there any accident or any incident that will be happen out of the arrangement of the Lord?
Well,It's not that because it's part of the arrangement of the Lord that the living entity is going to act as robots. Everybody has his own part, has his own desire, and his own responsibility. Not that it's everybody is going to be manipulated like automats. No, they are associates of the Lord. They are going to act perfectly, no problem. They know what to do.Because they are part already, they are associates of the Lord. Are others who are joining the pastimes of the Lord for first time, so they're going to do their mistakes, they're going to do their stupid things, but they are going to be also used by the Lord for to teach us a particular lesson, as we're going to notice.
那其实呢，就是所有的这个，就每一个人，他其实并不是像是一个机器人一样。被这个主所控制着去做所有的这些事情的，那么就是当然就是主的那些永恒的同游，那些永远解脱的这个灵魂，那他们是肯定是按照主的意愿去做所有的这些事情，但是那些才第一次参与到主的逍遥时光的这些灵魂呢，他其实还是会去做一些很蠢的事情，然后呢会按照自己的意愿去做一些事儿，但是呢主呢会利用他们所做的这些蠢事儿来给我们一些教导，来以这个事情来向我们来提出警示。
But every individual soul has his own choice.
但是每一个个体灵魂呢，都有他自己的选择。
So they can be part, like we are part of the Sankirtan of movement, and if you act according to the desire of Lord Chaitanya and the disciple succession, we are going to benefit tremendously and we can prepare ourselves to go back to Krishna in this lifetime. If we take seriously our part in this Sankirtana movement, but we can also not take it very seriously and remain stuck in material existence for quite a few lifetimes.
那比如说我们现在有这个 Sri Chaitanya 的 Sankirtan 运动，那如果我们要是非常乖的非常好的去信守这 Sankirtan 运动，然后呢去按照 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所的教导去做所有的这些活动的话，那肯定我们是会很受益的，那我们而且呢也是会通向回到守神身边的这条路上的，而且最终呢可能就在这一世就回去了，但是如果我们要是没有就是我们如果还是依然按照我们自己的意愿，并没有按照 Sri Krishna 就是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的一个教导去在 Sankirtan 运动里面去从事我们应该去该做的这个活动的话，那我们可能还会在这个物质世界还要再卡上好几个生世，然后才能说回去的事儿。
Of course, these personalities are from the previous age, so their character and their prowess and their capacities are much superior to the people born in Kali Yuga.
那当然了，在这个 Mahabharata 里面出现的这些人物呢，他们是在之前的这个年代所显现的，所以呢，无论他们从品格上，还是从他们的这个能力上，以及他们所这个具备的这种威力上，那都要比在卡利年代出生的人要强很多。
So we cannot establish a parallel between them and us.
所以呢，我们不能够和他们，就在卡利年代出生的这些人，不能够和在之前的这个年代出生的人去同日而语。
Okay, next.
The next is still from Han. 中间 Sumukirana 的 Mahaji 的问题。中间会不会出现并没有按 Krishna 的计划上演的故事呢？比如一些意外的插曲呢？这样好理解一些。Sumikrama 姐，这是跟您就随便，就是您又帮忙又解释了一下 Honey 这个问题是吗？因为这个问题跟 Honey 问题好像是一样的。
是的，这是他提问的。
对，那所以阿叔就解答了呗。阿叔刚才不是解答了吗？对吧？
是的，是的。
Yeah. 他说，so this Sumukhi Ramaji just help to, you know, re-explain about the question from Hani, but you have already answered. So the next one's from Qiqi. Qiqi said that, thank you, Ashu. I understand from your explanation. And Chandra Vilasani Mataji said that, thank you very much for your sweet lecture. Radihi Mataji asked, 如果杜尤登的出生比尤迪士帝尔王早一些，是否尤迪士帝尔就可以当国王了？ Okay, Radihi Mataji asked that if Duryodhan was born a little bit earlier than Yudhishthir, does that mean that...
Wait. Mahabharata did not finish today, okay? So this is going to, we're going to see this later on.
Okay. 阿叔说咱们这阿玛哈巴尔特今天不是就讲到最后一讲吗？所以您这问题呢已经远远的超过咱今儿讲的内容了。
You are talking about people who are not born yet.
对，您在讲的这些人物都还没出生呢。
So let's go stage by stage, episode by episode. We go there. This is a long story, long history.
所以呢，咱们还是这台阶一层一层的上，然后呢，咱们这个故事呢也一篇一篇的讲。所以呢，这 Mahabharata 呢，因为是一段很长很长的故事。
So be patient and be tuned. Don't miss it.
所以大家呢，请一定要有耐心，而且呢，也要这个继续的来听这个讲课。所以呢，也不要错过每一节课。
嗯 ，That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much for your questions. Some questions, very nice questions. Yes.
那非常感谢大家的问题，而且有些问题是非常好的问题。
A very special thank you to Dana Kelly and Sumukhi Raja for organizing this program together.
也非常谢谢 Sumukhi Raja Maji 和 Dana Kelly 能够为我们安排我们这样的联谊。
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vyasadeva ki jai, Mahabharata ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari, Hari,
Om. Ashu ki jai. Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们，那我们今天的 Mahabharata 这节讲课呢，就到此结束了。非常非常感恩我们亲爱的阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 为我们的精彩讲解，以及对于所有的这些问题的耐心的解答。非常感恩苏穆提拉的玛拉吉，也非常谢谢所有的奉献者的聆听。那在这里祝愿大家有一个非常的安宁的夜晚，给大家在 Krishna 知觉之中做一个好梦，好好的休息。Hare Krishna。